Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Fan Sports Radio 101.9 FM Sports Radio 66 Sports Radio WFAN.
He is Matt Silverman, and he remembers Shea Stadium. Matt, how are you?
I am doing great. Great to be here, Steve.
Well, and thanks so much for your time. And let me ask you this right from the beginning. If Shea Stadium were alive today and could talk, what would it say about its time in Flushing, Queens?
Well, if it could talk, I think the first thing it would say would be here. And it would come in a waxy Harry M. Stevens cup with cellophane top and spilling on your hand while you walk down those stairs and looking at the railings. But you know, I think if it could talk, it would be the first thing it would say is like, you really need two stadiums for for a stadium for football, a stadium for baseball. I could do it all, and it did do it all in 1975 when Giants, Jets, Yankees, and Mets were all there.
That's incredible.
It is incredible.
Yeah, and nobody has ever done that before. No stadium anywhere, any place, any time. All four. Two football teams, two baseball teams in one facility in the same year. That's unheard of.
Yes, and Pete Flynn, God rest his soul, lived to tell the tale, but he still shook his head when I talked to him about that, and it had been, 30-odd years.
What would be your best memories? I mean, there were so many, not just with the championships of 69, 86, I mean, 73, and the emergence of Joe Namath was seen there, and Tom Seaver, and certainly with the Mets, and with all of that. But the Beatles were there, the Pope was there, I'm not talking about Francesa, but the Pope was there. I mean, what were your memories being there that you would put at the top of your list?
Well, I mean, like being there in person was the Lenny Dykstra home run there in the '86 playoffs. That was actually the first postseason game I ever Mets postseason game I ever went to, and had come all the way up from Virginia, so it was definitely worth the effort. And skipping school to go see Tom Seaver's return in 83. That definitely lives on as well.
Was Shea Stadium at one time considered to be a brand new ballpark with a dome?
They did consider it, but like most things that are involved with any committees, they saw that what the price tag was attached to it. Although by today's standards, you could get a decent hitting outfielder for that amount of money, but they sort of had to pull some strings in order to ram it through, because they weren't going to get a National League team unless they got the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So they, I think the costs of it kind of kept it from happening. But I have a in '62 they were still talking about it, because I have a program from '62 from when they were playing at the Polo Grounds, before Shea was really even got going, and they were talking about them playing in a dome, but then it quietly sort of went away.
The best years, would you say? I mean, from '69, '86, certainly with the baseball team, with the Metropolitans, would you say '68 and '69 with the Mets and the Jets?
Yeah, definitely. The Jets, the Jets, and actually Shea Stadium really made the AFL, because the Jets, you know, they were really playing in an absolute dump at the Polo Grounds. They were playing there like 2 years before the Mets got there. And once they moved into Shea, they were selling the place out. They were the top-drawing team in the AFL. And next thing you know, they've got a big contract with NBC. And then because of that, they've got the money to, you know, they've got Sonny Werblin with throwing the money around. And they've got Joe Namath. And, you know, they win that game against the Raiders. Still maybe the biggest win other than the Super Bowl in Jets history, and that was at Shea on the frozen turf. And then the next year, you know, the Jets wasn't that big of a league. It's, you know, and it wasn't that old. The Jets winning wasn't completely out of the question like it might be now, but the Mets winning was completely out of anybody's, sure. Even Gil Hodges said he saw it, but I think even he might have been just trying to get everyone's attitude better.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, with the Mets beginning and being the laughingstock and all the losing and with the humor with the Casey Stengel and everything going on, I guess it's safe to say that maybe the biggest event in the 1960s until the Mets became the Mets of 69 was the Beatles in 1965. Look out. How many people were there for that?
Yeah, that was really its moment. I mean, it even got into the subhead in the book here, even though they played one night in 65 and another night in 66 and stopped playing a week or two after their last concert at Shea, stopped performing. And, you know, the police, they said that was the highlight of their career, and actually they decided to break up because they couldn't go any higher there. And, you know, The Who played there, Bruce Springsteen. They didn't have a lot of acts there, but they had, you know, most of them were A-lists, Grand Funk Railroad maybe excluded. But, you know, they were big acts, and they played on the big stage. And you know, eventually they realized they could make more money, sell more tickets by putting them on the field, and they started doing that. But when the Beatles played there, everybody was in the stands, and they were all at second base on a little stage, you know, when nobody could hear anything.
Well, sure. And you know, from the Beatles then, and what was it when Shea Stadium was being torn down and demolished? I guess from the Beatles in the early 60s to the very end with Billy Joel, the last play at Shea Stadium, he had a couple of concerts there and an awful lot of people came by to see him and hear him and say goodbye in their own way to Shea Stadium.
Yes, I was there for that last one, and then Paul McCartney showed up at the end and, you know, something I've never seen or really even heard of, but he sort of gave the stage to Paul McCartney to play it off, mm-hmm. Play the last song. And, you know, that was a very memorable night at Shea as well. And Billy Joel being a Long Island guy was a great way to finish it out.
And, of course, there were people that referred to Shea Stadium late in life as a dump. But it was your dump, our dump.
Yes.
It was where your youth, where your memories, you know, where your summers were spent. I mean, certainly for the Metropolitan fan and also for fans of other teams, even if the football and with the Yankees even having some moments at Shea Stadium, unlike any other ballpark, that's for sure. But certainly the ballpark, which was certainly not as historic as Yankee Stadium when it was born in 64 and certainly not as cozy and as friendly and as neighborhood-like as Ebbets Field, and certainly not as quirky and with some of the history from the New York baseball Giants and the Polo Grounds, although the Mets, of course, the first 2 years at the Polo Grounds. But when all was said and done, how iconic, how legendary, and how historical Shea Stadium in Flushing, Queens, New York.
And it held a lot of people, 55,000. That's where the Tom Seaver Black Cat, Tom Seaver Imperfect Game, the Black Cat, the shoe polish incident. You know, just you could name about 15 things just from 1969 alone. And at the time, it was considered the state of the art, and it was the top drawing stadium until just about 1973. Ironically, when they won the pennant, it was not the top drawing stadium, but it was, you know, still considered state of the art. And all those other ballparks that were built around that time that actually didn't even last as long as Shea were modeled about it, around it. And after 75, though, all that activity, the city didn't have the money to put into it to keep it quite as fresh as a daisy, and the paint was chipping after that, and it still hung in there. The food slowly but surely got better and more edible, and the prices kept going up like every ballpark.
And of course, you write about with the Dodgers and the Giants too leaving for the 58 season, and what that meant regarding Shea Stadium, of course, and the birth of the New York Metropolitans. That's for sure.
And it also, for a positive for the Mets, they hired the perfect guy in Casey Stengel, who, was just, took all of the attention off how bad the team was and onto himself. And it also guaranteed that everybody was going to love the Mets because, people realized that just because New York has has the Yankees, it doesn't mean that there's a lot of people that just weren't ready to root for them. I mean, Dodgers fans are rooting against them all those Octobers, and then suddenly they're supposed to be rooting for them. And, when the Mets came in, they actually got a fair number of Yankees fans. And, it was by the time Shea opened, it was outdrawing the Yankees, even though the Mets were the worst team in baseball and the Yankees were going to the World Series.
You miss Shea Stadium?
Yeah, I do. I do have, but Citi Field is great. I was there just last night, but I do have my Shea Stadium seats in the in the basement, and we'll watch the games here and there, sitting in there. They're much more comfortable when they're taken out, and there's not someone sitting right in front of you.
Most people that write books with the sports theme write about players. They write about certain events. They write about teams. Why you writing about a stadium?
Well, I've done a bunch of different books on the Mets, and there really weren't that many subjects that I really wanted to get into that I hadn't dealt with. And the best part of all was Lions Press called up and asked me about doing it. So that made it that much easier. And then I could sort of wrap my head around it, and and we threw it together within a few months. But the first words I put on paper was "our dump," because that was, it's a dump, but it's our dump. And actually, that's the title of the introduction, because that was a lot of people's feelings about it. But it's like, your childhood, it's like maligning your childhood home. And even though it's not there, you can still imagine, your family being there, all sitting in front of the TV, eating Swanson's dinners or something like that, watching Bob and Ralph and Lindsay.
The Swanson's TV dinner, that has gone the way of the payphone.
And the way of Shea, but the next best thing, you're good cooking.
Yeah, well, I remember the Swanson TV dinners already with the mashed potatoes and the peas.
Yes, yes, sir, and the meatloaf and the whole kit and caboodle. And sometimes, some years, that was better than the food at Shea, but but it did get better over time.
See, I was just—you just took the words out of me. I was going to ask you about the food, the concept, because now at Citi Field, it's Gourmet City.
It is Gourmet City. I did find the reviewer from the Times, I think in the mid-80s, went there and gave it like a gourmet review, like it was, some new restaurant. And the only thing he recommended was the Canadian beer and the ice cream.
Was there enough bathrooms at Shea Stadium for you?
The bathrooms were always always spotless, except when they weren't. And as long as the toilet was flushing, in flushing, that was good.
You always heard, not necessarily with the baseball team not performing well. I mean, certainly you heard the complaints and heard from the crowd. But you were, there were so many complaints with the ballpark. But again, so many of those people complaining then miss it now. I was at Shea for the Piazza home run against the Braves after 9/11.
Wow.
And there was not a dry eye in the house. It probably was the most memorable baseball game I've ever been to, the most meaningful baseball game I've ever been to, because it transcended baseball, and it was at Shea Stadium, and it kind of signaled, it was sort of like a sign that, yes, as much as we are grieving and as much as we are mourning, we are going to, with very heavy hearts, as they say in the trade, move forward and honor those who lost their lives and the first responders and everybody who so were involved in 9/11. But that first game at Shea, and the Mets, by the way, did so much to aid and support and help. It was special in a time of disaster, in a time of such pain and suffering and such loss, so needlessly so. But the Shea Stadium was there, and the game that was played, that first game after 9/11, and what Valentine and the Metropolitans were to do to extend themselves for a grieving and mourning city was something that, listen, aside from everything else that we have talked about in the few minutes that you've been on with us, that was very, very special. And it was held at Shea Stadium, and the Mets did their part, first and foremost, to do what they could to help the city.
Yes, and, you know, really... Ended up signaling that it's okay to, you know, that to move on. I actually got a Mike Vaccaro from the Post had a line that, you know, they said that was when New York got a little bit back to normalcy. And he noted that it was 2 days later when Armando Benitez blew a save and they booed him off the mound, that was really when the New Yorkers had gotten back to normalcy.
And what about this Mets team as you see them? Are you going to write about them someday?
You know, well, this team, you know, with all tragedy notwithstanding, that reminds me a little bit of that 2001 team, because that team, a month before the 9/11 tragedy, was really just absolutely terrible. And, you know, this team this year was 11 games under 500 just after the All-Star break, and, you know, really made a go of it. And, you know, I think you have to be proud of it. Sometimes it defied how they won. I mean, they had those six games they pulled out of the fire against the Nationals' lousy bullpen, but their lousy bullpen gave them back one for the ages. So you could not assume that the Mets were going to win or lose this year. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, listen, I can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes. The book is called Shea Stadium Remembered. Matt Silverman, our guest here, the author, and he's written, as he alluded to, a number of books on the New York Metropolitans. And I'm sure, Matt, it's safe to say the book is online, offline, and everywhere somebody could find a book.
Yes, at your local bookshop, whether it's Barnes & Noble or Amazon or the little place down the road.
Thanks so much for your time, for sure.
Well, thank you.
You bet.
Been a pleasure.
Okay, my pleasure, too. Matt Silverman and Shea Stadium Remembered.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.